time frames in the scriptures didn't mean anything because one day was just as good as 1,000 years to the Lord. And I reminded him, though the Lord is not constrained by time, he does know what time it is.
Amen.
But it can't trap him like it traps us. Doesn't constrain him. It does not keep him from doing his work. Need be, he can roll it back. He can roll it forward. He can stand it still. And though we are in a new day and time when there is much garbage, much more of that than what there is the real stuff, I'm glad we're not serving a God that is constrained by that. But even in this last day, we can have power of God. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I praise His high and holy name. I'm glad I've eaten a few grapes in my life. Amen. I hadn't always been dining on grapes. There's been times it's been nothing more than melons, leeks, and onions. Amen. But I'm glad I've had the privilege of eating a few grapes in life. Drinking a little milk and sopping a biscuit of grapes and some honey in the land of Canaan. I praise His high and holy name for that. I am surely blessed, and I thank Him.
What a God, amen.
What a blessing to be at the house of God. I count this a privilege to be here before you tonight. We are reading in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 18. And I want to begin reading in verse 35. I'll read down through verse 43 there at the end of the chapter. Again, I thank the committee for coming to us and asking us to stand tonight. And I want to be found obedient and faithful to Him. I felt a little bit of a bug coming on, and I have for the last couple of days. And tonight, I'm not probably at my best, but the Apostle Paul said it's in weakness that I'm made strong.
Amen.
And I understand that I don't have nothing in me to do this with tonight anyhow.
Amen.
So I always just have to lean on Him.
Amen.
But I'm glad when I cannot stand, there is a place to lean.
Amen.
Hallelujah, for His high and holy name. Hallelujah. Well, if I can clear these things up, I'm going to read. Luke chapter number 18. Verse number 35, the scripture says, "It came to pass that as he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside a begging. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. He cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, and that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus saith unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Note again verse 36 with us. "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the way of the Word of the Lord. Scripture teaches us in this passage about a blind man that in Mark chapter 10 is called by the name of Bartimaeus. He sat by the wayside begging in Jericho, and the Scripture says when he heard the multitude of following Jesus coming by his way, he asked, what does it mean? And they said, Jesus has come by. He called out for mercy, and the Lord gave him his sight, and he followed the Lord in the way. I'm interested tonight in this phrase in verse number 36, where he asked what it meant. And I don't want to ask you tonight, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? And I thought about all the time throughout the Scriptures that the question was asked again and again, what does it mean? And so we find tonight that they'll be asking us a lot of questions. What does it mean? I want to say first of all tonight, we find in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 20, what mean of the statutes? What mean of the statutes? The Scripture says, and when thy son asketh thee in the time to come, saying, what mean of the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? In the last verse, in verse number 23, he said, your answer will be to them, we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. I say, friend, we've got questions in our land today. What means the statutes? What means the Word of God? What means the Scriptures? I want to say, friend, what means the statutes? It means that he that demands holiness. Amen. God gave us the Bible, and his Bible declares and demands a certain level of lifestyle out of his saints, a believer in Christ. just in your way is not sufficient. Just in your way will not do. Amen. And he said, when your son asked him, in the time to come, what are his testimonies and the statutes and the commandments mean? You tell him it means we got to do what God said. We got to obey the word of God. We got to be found faithful to live holy and to live right and to sell out to the commands of God and not to be taken aside by every little thing and not fear not to buy into every new fad and not to go to Hollywood and punk rock and the liberal church down the road. And rather just go on God if it hurts the devil and if the in-laws get mad and if everybody else accounts those of you. It means we must obey and do all that God's commanded us to do. Oh my God, help us to be found faithful. What means the statutes? What means the thou shalt and thou shalt not? It means we must do. It's not optional. It's not suggested. It is demanded. Holiness, 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 holiness. God has set a standard of living for his children. And he'll accept nothing short but the word of God. We may be cast about and playing with every wind of doctrine.
Go ahead.
Turn a little pain, take us aside. But it will not be God's plan. It will not be God's way. Amen. Amen. That's right. Mom and Dad taught us how to live right, taught us the scriptures. And I believe the things they taught me then. And I still do believe them. Amen. That's right. Esther, they took her into the king's palace to learn how to act when she got around the king. 18 months, I believe it was, she stayed. I think that's right. In the king's palace. But Mordecai come to check on her. And the Bible said when he got there that he found her acting just like she did while she was still at home. Woo! I know we're under pressure. I know the world's a change. But I also know that God never changes. I also know God's word never changes. I also know there's still a word of the Lord. His message is the same. His meaning is the same. His master is the same. And it still demands holiness.
That's
without holiness, no man shall see God. What does it mean? It means God. What means the statutes? It means God demands holiness. I want to say secondly, what means the service? In Exodus chapter 12, verse 26, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? He said there's going to come a time when your children are going to ask you, why is it you're killing the lamb? Why is it we're eating the unleavened bread? Why is it you eat with your shoes on? Why is it that you do these things? He said, you remind me, once you were in Egypt, once you were afraid, once you were not a people, once you had not hope, once Pharaoh's hand, oh, thank God, his hand of oppression was upon you. But there was a lamb. There was a sacrifice. There was bloodshed. And we had him, the death angel, pass over us. Woo! You remind me. It's a testimony. Says God's done it before. He'll do it again. What means the shadows? That means God will deliver. Oh, your children may be an Egyptian oppressor. No matter how your old Satan may oppress me. No matter if it may seem like there's no hope. I've been there so in the blood of Jesus. Even in this day and time, what does it mean when we break the bread? I'm taking it down. A body that was broken. Blood that was shed. My hope's in the blood. My hope's in him. The same God that delivered in those days is still a delivering God.
Amen. Bless you, my friend. Go ahead. Yes.
They told us in homiletics. Liberty University, and I'm saying, oh, you don't preach so much, you can't preach to somebody else, tell them what it is you're rejoicing in. But you're going to have to indulge me just a minute tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I got two little girls, and they don't know what it is to know Him yet.
But
I got one that's oldest and 6-year-old, and she's always asking questions. Had one saved here at the church. Hey, young, not long ago, she said, Daddy, I said, he got saved. Said, I sure do want to get saved. She'd cry. And she said, but God ain't talked to my heart yet. She said, you pray for me, Daddy, that God will talk to me.
Yeah.
Woo!
You know what that service means? That means that surely if God gave a lamb to Israel, He'll give one to my children.
Yeah.
That is a sacrifice. That is that's the UFO with the precious saving
grace.
And it is something, God, even in this day and age.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What means the statue filled a man holiness? What means the service He will deliver? I would say, what mean the stones in Joshua chapter 4? As the children of Israel come out of Egypt and spend some days long and many years long in the wilderness, and they approach in the Jordan swollen river, and it is that they cannot cross. Your face, my friends, step in, holding up the blessing, the ark of the covenant which contained the statutes and commandments of God, and the waters of the Jordan parted hither and thither, and God's covenant parted across on dry land. Hey, and the men of God stayed faithfully in the river until everyone was safely
across.
Oh God, give me standing feet in the midst of the raging river until every young and nation safely across. Let me lift up His statutes. Let me hold my hands back that my young ones and yours might be able to cross the river safely. Oh God, what mean the stones when they crossed across the river? They took them, put them in the river, now the river. And the same time comes, you still ask me what mean these stones. You tell them that the Lord our God, He is the mighty. What mean the stones? He will sustain. He will sustain. After 40 years in the wilderness, you don't think your boys are tired. You don't think you're tired of wondering. You don't think they were tired of that. You don't think they're tired of family. And here was one more insurmountable obstacle. It's been one battle, one obstacle, one problem after another. And they thought, Lord, this is it. I've had all I can take. But God said, I will sustain.
Yeah.
I want to tell you this. When you feel like you fought all the battles you can fight, you've matched your last battle. Lived so nicely. Hold your lost score. You're just about ready to give it. And that He will sustain.
Yeah.
For the journey. His hand for the living. He's done it before. And He'll do it again.
Yeah.
What means the stones? He will sustain.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yes, He will.
Woo! Sometimes I feel like I've fought about long as I can fight. And sometimes I feel like the harder I fight, the worse the battle gets. And there's some time to believe that the more I fight, the more I defeat, that the things that I'm fighting for seem to go. And even in the past 16 years that I've been a preacher, and I'm green as a Gordon Young, but even in these years I've seen a great change in the church society and in the congregation of the church. And the things that was condemned, preached against, and would not have been put up with in FCM and in churches at large has become come commonplace. And it's the same in earth and the same in God. Oh my God, help us. And they say sometimes I feel like I've worn his feet at the air. And I'm no
God really isn't doing anything. Thanks be to God. The days when I think I'm a face of rivers, I cannot cross. God reminds me of a pile of stones. And he said it's going to be the same. In the past, he said, let's do it again. Keep on it, keep on. I supply, occupy. Occupy, right on. I will sustain you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always. Even to the end of the world. There's a power that keeps me on going.
Woo! Amen.
Well, bless his name.
Good preacher.
Hallelujah.
Caleb told him, boys, he said 40 years ago, I was a 45-year-old man. And I come through here, and there's a mountain full of angels. Jim Giants, the sons of Anak, who is 16 feet tall. And you told us then we couldn't be. And we spent 40 years, and your fathers has died in the wilderness. And I said, I know many of you are tired. And you don't have strength for the journey. But I've got news for you. I'm as strong as I was 40 years ago.
Yeah,
hey, I still want my mountain. And if you fellas want to go with me, that's fine. But if not, I'll take it just me and God. Hey, you don't think there's strength to sustain us for the journey? Hallelujah to his name. Some of these older preachers have told me in discouragement that she'll never live a preacher to be as old as I am. Let's see what I've seen. We're headed down too fast and too far. And it will not last. But the truth is, Brother Willis, it may last. And the Lord may be here. And I may get to be an old preacher someday. But I'm glad God still got strength for that journey. I still make every mile to it. Every one of God's commands has got everything it takes to make it all the way home.
Glory to God, everybody. Hallelujah.
Man went to a train station in New York City. He said, or rather, a bus station in New York City. He said, I need to ship my bag. I got a bag and I need to ship to Chicago. And he said, well, so you normally don't take luggage unless it's a checked luggage with a passenger. So he said, well, I don't need to go. He said, I just need to ship it. He said, they wouldn't take it in the mail. I don't have enough money to pay the courier. Is there some way I can ship it? He said, well, it's going to change several buses along the way. And they said, it's going to go through a lot. I don't know if it has. What it'll take to make the journey or not. And the man said, well, you're the shipping man. You tell me what you think. He went across from the other side of the counter. He grabbed the bag up, picked it up above his head, and slammed it down the ground. He said, that's what's going to happen when it gets to Albany. He grabbed the bag up, slammed it across the room. It hit the wall. He said, that's what's going to happen when it gets to Akron. Grabbed the bag up again, threw it against the window. It hit the floor. He said, that's what is going to happen when it gets to Gary, Indiana. Picked the bag up again, tossed it across the counter. It hit the floor and it broke open. All the contents come out. He said, that's what's going to happen when it gets to Chicago. Oh, no, sir, I don't think your bag's got what it takes to make the trip. Hey, but I want to tell you, in our lives, we may be tossed and turned. We may be cast down, but we're not forsaken. Hey, we may be beat up and knocked down, but we'll not be knocked down. There's not a one of God's sons that I haven't got everything it takes to make it last marvelously. He'll see us safely home. His strength to sustain us for the journey.
Wasn't me.
Bless him, Lord.
What mean the statues he to a man's holiness? What means the service he will deliver? What means the stones he will sustain? I want to say, what means the sacrifice? Genesis chapter 22 tells us the sacrifice means he will provide. He will provide. Abraham's told to take his boy on the Mount Isaac and sacrifice his boy. After 3 days journey, this is four sermons in itself. So I got to preach fast. You'll have to listen fast. After 3 days journey, I'd thank God. He and the boys on the mountain
And he placed his head, boy, on the altar after he sold his son. He said, well, here is the fire, and here's the wood for the sacrifice. But where's the lamb? He said, God provided himself a sacrifice. When he got on the mountain, he was. And he began to prepare to slay his boy. And he bound him to the altar. But the angel of the Lord stopped him and said, now I notice you won't hell withhold anything from me. And he turned his horn, caught by his horns in the thicket. That's where the ram's strength is in his horns. No set of briars that don't hold a ram in the thicket. That's where their power is. It wasn't the briars that hold the ram. There was a great God of heaven had one hand on each horn on me. And provide the sacrifice. I say our youngest is under, not being underpaid. Anguish and sin caused to their fathers. And all they're being sacrificed. They're doomed to die as sure as we were. But I'm glad, thank God. The Lord's provided a sacrifice. The Lord's provided a way. The Lord's provided a way. That means a sacrifice. He will provide.
I'm glad.
When our sons and daughters are set on the altars to appease the wrath of God against sin, I'm so glad he's already provided a lamb that's God in our place and made himself an eternal sacrifice once and for all. And if the blood of bulls and goats and calves and the sprinkled ashes of heifers have taken away our sins and blot all our sins and blot all our transgressions, how much more shall he cleanse our ways by the blood of Jesus Christ? Hey, praise his name. And that God will provide.
Amen. Amen.
Good preaching. So he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provides. What means the sacrifice? Hallelujah. I want to say here tonight, what means the saying? The saying means he will fulfill. In our text chapter here tonight, in verse number 31, Jesus told the people, then he took unto him the 12 and he said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. All things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Right. For when he delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and that they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hidden from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. You know what they did for the cross? Jesus said, these things, I'm going to die. And I'm going to suffer. And I'm going to die. And then in 3 days I'm going to rise. You know what they did? They looked at one another and they said, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? You know what it means? It means he will fulfill. He will fulfill. As surely as the prophets prophesy, he will fulfill. As surely as God promised, thank God, he will fulfill. As surely as the word of God predicts it, he will fulfill. And he did fulfill it. And he did pay the price. Thanks be to God. Though they did not understand, he did fulfill. I'm so glad, thank God. He did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. The law demanded sacrifice, and he did fulfill. The law demanded death, and he did fulfill. The law demanded justice, and he did fulfill. The law demanded a substitute, and he did fulfill. The law demanded an intercessor, a mediator, and he did fulfill. The law demanded a priest, and he did fulfill. Hallelujah! The law demanded protection, and he did fulfill. Hallelujah! To his high holy name. God has fulfilled the law. What does it mean? What does it mean?
Hallelujah.
What does it mean? Hallelujah. What means to say? I want to say tonight in verses 35 and 36, what means the sounds? What means the sounds? Our text verses. And it came to pass as it was coming out of Jerusalem, or in Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the highway side begging. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Yeah. What means the sounds? What means the sounds?
God bless you.
Now let me tell you something here, friend, in this day. We are surely hearing a lot of strange sounds.
God bless you.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, we're hearing a lot of really strange sounds.
God bless you, Brother Toby. Go ahead.
What means the sounds? Oh, Lord.
Go
ahead. Exodus chapter number 32. Out of verses 17 through 20. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass as he came nigh to the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. So I'll get angry whenever people's are desecrating the house of God. Amen. And a dancing around the house of God. And Moses' anger waxed hot. And if you read on scripture later on, you'll find out there's naked too. And he cast the bread out of the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the man. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and he stowed it upon the water. And he made the children of Israel drink of this. He said, I hear the sound of singing and dancing. And I see that. I hear the sound of them that's having a party in the middle of time. I said, they're not fighting a battle. They're not in the war. They're sitting down to eat and drink and they're rising up to play. What means them
songs?
It's loud and it's lovely, but it ain't the Lord. Amen. Man. We got a lot of that mess in our day and age. Hey, a lot of tambourine beating and drum beating and guitars coming and hippies are singing in our churches with their ears pop through their ears and snap and tongue. But there ain't much God in the middle of it. It's a long way around it, but it ain't much revival. Amen. And we say we've heard the sound of God. But I say the sound of God will not desecrate the precepts, practices.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. That are written in this book and taught by his church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Good preaching. Go ahead.
I am absolutely amazed, Brother Danny. It's a mess that we've got in churches today.
Go ahead, preacher.
Amen, brother.
Go ahead.
Totally perplexed and completely flabbergasted.
Come on.
Go ahead, preacher.
Bumpus. Amen. That's right.
Go ahead.
That's right. And makes me want to preach like a mad boy. Amen.
Come on, brother.
Amen. Hey, two kind of preachers makes me want to preach. Them that don't, them that will. Amen. Amen. That's right. Hey, friend. Oh, it's amazing to me. We've got in our day and age. Now, listen, when I was a boy, we'd sing like soft and preach like. Can't get a hold of a piano somewhere or another. Hey man, or an organ, a bass guitar. Hey man, or pick a six-string guitar. Hey man, somewhere or another, and we'd sing the old songs of Zion. And the people of God would shout, and the man of God preached till the sweat get off. And my friend to him, his preacher's legs. And God's people would shout him down. And then we'd pray on the altars, and we called that old time meeting. And now they sing and shout around the aisles. And then the man of God's got to have a microphone in the phone booth for anybody here.
God bless you.
Amen. I said, gotta have a microphone for anybody here that says the same preaching. Have a phone booth.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of half asleep preachers wanting to teach you and soothe you. I tell you, friend, that's exactly what the prophet said it'd be. Have prophesied smooth things. Have people to themselves, teachers. Have an itch and ear. Giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Causing people to depart from the faith. We don't need more soothing preaching. We need some help. We need preachers. We don't need career men. We need tall men.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
preacher. Hallelujah. Yep. Buddy, it's a ministry. Yep.
Hey, God bless you. Amen.
Sure. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And if you got six people on the backside of us, hey, you'd be better off somewhere with us. And being faithful and true to the Word of God. Have to have 6,000. I'm compromising. The principles of God's holy book.
That's God preacher.
Rather be off in the woods than being on a hall log of the grapevine. Has to have a house full of people to tell them bunch of lies.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Amen.
Come on. Send them their spirits and tell them anything they want to hear. I try to get in the crown, the numbers and pads your pocket. Please, a deacon board. Testify some lives and some tears of hell. You better get faithful to God and not bow your knees to Baal. There'll be judgment coming, man of God.
Yes.
God bless you. You can't play with this book. You don't need to be a good book.
Keep God and it's profitable to people of God. Make the whole household of the world go.
What a God.
Hallelujah. Amen. About half our preachers are scholars on a third of the Bible.
Right.
But they won't touch the rest of it because they're yelling.
Amen.
Oh,
come on,
God. Give us some men of God with a backbone. Give us some men of God that's more than sound and brass and a tinkling cymbal. Men of God that'll do more than play with people and try to generate things through Paul James and support sinners. Men of God that's filled with power and unto the Holy Ghost. The men of God that don't make those folks don't want to come to church, but he gives them a new zeal and a hunger and a thirst to know God, the power of the resurrection, and the fellowship by his suffering.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's good preaching. Go ahead, Brother
Tommy.
Go ahead.
It's the Holy Ghost job to comfort the people. It's our job to tell them the truth.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Right.
You're preaching right.
Oh, God, help us. Well, no wonder we got so many foxes. We petted them and fed them so long. Hey, man, we pet them and they'll stay and we feed them and they grow. And then we wonder why they're eating our young ones alive.
Amen. Come on, brother.
And for some reason or another, we think they could get rid of them. No, we need to do get more of them. They're not going to eat one another.
That's right.
Well, what's the matter with our young people? The same problem. It's always been sin. They need Jesus to help them out.
Yeah.
Change their lives. They need God's influences. That change their lives. But while you're telling them they're all right like they are, they're God and their sins wrong. Their conscience is soothed. They should ever think it's all right. And we need a message from the Lord.
Amen.
That's good.
That means the sound. We got a lot of sound, but not a lot of God coming out of much of it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it, right.
It's not the loud voice, and it's not the prominent man.
Yeah.
It's the one with the message.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Had a murdered man say last weekend that our youngins are going off to school and learning things in college and they're coming home. They won't listen to country preachers no more. And we better get some boys in here to spend school and knows how to talk to them on their level. I want to say something. Their level is ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I've been to school a day or two in my life, 10 years or so. A college ought to do a fellow a little bit of good, you think, along the way if they could weed out some of the junk it gets. But I want to tell you something. That ain't saving nobody. Take the power of God. I'd rather hear a man of God preach that couldn't read his name, have a touch of God on his life, have to listen to a scholar that is nothing more than a hall boss.
Amen.
We don't need people convinced. We need them converted.
That's right.
Yes. Amen. That's right. We don't need people to be intellectually in agreement with us. We need folks sold out and spirit-filled. Hey. I mean, I don't want folks to see my life and say, you know, I better get in church. I better get my parents. I want to say, oh, Lord, I want to have the power of God on my life like he's got. I want to experience the joy of God like he does. I want to know the power of the resurrection the way he knows that power. I want to make him thirsty for the living God.
Yes, sir. That's good preaching.
And we're going to have to know power.
Go ahead, Brother Toby. Go ahead. You're preaching right.
It ain't enough to shake the preacher's hand, have your name on the church roll, and pray a simple prayer that you repeat it after some blind, deceiving devil somewhere or another don't want another number to put on his visitation book. You better get in the family of God and sell out of the Holy Ghost.
Good preacher.
Well, I'm right there, I might as well hit that a little bit. We have done everything we could do to save people. And it's about time we quit. You heard exactly what I said. We've done everything we can do to save people. It's about time we quit it. Because that ain't our doing, that's God's doing. Salvation's of the Lord. It ain't your job, Brother Jimmy Allison, to save them. It's our job to tell them the gospel. Amen. And we can't save nobody. We think we can save them, we can convert them, we can disciple them, we can teach them everything they need to know. God's put his hand off them and said, all right, buddy, you know so much, you have it. And we've made a mess of it.
God bless you,
man. I've been right. Herding them down the Roman road like a herd of cattle. My friend are going to the trough. I'm the God. They don't need to get the road, they need to get the Calvary. God give us the men of God that will preach people after their hearts and can't be preached and run to Jesus under old time conviction and get converted out of the power of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 That's right.
Preach on.
Good preach.
That's why when you baptize them or have a baptismal ceremony, they don't even show up for their own dunking. You ever had that happen? I have. Amen. One old fella comes in every Sunday. He's led four people to the Lord. He ain't had two of them come to church with him in 12 years. Right. People ain't no more getting saved than Billy Goat don't fly. They ain't getting saved. I mean, best saved, they'd be at the house of God.
Right.
I mean, you think back to when you got in the family, Brother Clay. If you want to lay out of church on Sunday, first thing I wanted to do was get to the house of God. My pastor never fed me one hot dog. They never had to have a chicken dinner. I never had to eat a bowl of ice cream. He didn't come to my house with a sticker. He didn't have to throw the projector in one hand and put it in the other. I was a basketball game or pizza supper. I just wanted to get with the house of God under the preaching of the gospel and the worship and the saints of God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And I believe when folks get saved, they want to have the real
stuff. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the church of Laodicea is growing and swelling and it's going to burst and stink in the nostrils of God.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, preacher.
We've added number upon number, and all it is sin I've added to sin.
Amen.
Because our message, our method, and our motives are all wrong.
God bless you.
Our job is not to grow the church. Our job is not to add to the church. Our job is not to bring in the people. Our job is to glorify Him.
Amen.
What Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I've heard people say all my life the job of the church is to get people saved. No, that's the job of the Holy Ghost. Our job is to lift up Him.
Yes, sir.
You can't get them saved. You can't save them. It's God to do it.
God better do. You better point him to Him.
I want to tell you something. If the law of God couldn't save, why do you think you better than Him?
God bless you, Brother Toby.
The law of God was perfect, upright, lacking nothing, but it could save nobody.
How
come you think you're going to measure up higher than it does? You can't get nobody saved. That's God's doing. You lift up the Lord.
Jesus. Amen.
And I want to tell you something. When you change your focus from getting people saved to glorifying God, it won't blow you up every time somebody leaves your church over preaching right.
Yeah.
Amen. Every time that dog gets up and blows sin out, somebody gets mad, puffed up, walks out, slams the church door. Amen. Keys your car and cusses out the preacher. You won't get mad at the preacher for making a leave. Amen. Because your concern ain't getting them in. It's getting them the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. If you live the rest of your life based on the attendance board, the offerings, You're going to be depressed if your life of God about half the time. Because in this day, everybody ain't going to heaven. Somebody said, oh, yeah, they will preach the blessed God. You obey the Lord, your power to go. Whatever hell would you do with Jesus then, buddy? 5,000 men plus women and children while he's defeating them. On the mountain with five loaves and two fishes, 15,000. If they were mad, y'all want to come out. But when he said, you got to eat my body and drink my blood, they all left him.
God bless you. Amen.
If Jesus wouldn't have preached the heart, he wouldn't have lost all his followers. That's what they're telling today, ain't it?
Woo-hoo! Like they're having a time. Some of you are miserable.
You'd preach straight, thanks to the Lord, you wouldn't have to run some of your trouble off. It just leaves.
God
bless you.
Amen.
That's right. You played
right.
with them and called them song, you destroyed the rest of the crowd. You've kept the crowd around that's robbed the whole barrel.
Yes, yes.
Come on, brother. Amen, that's right. There's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. It ain't always the will of God for the church to grow.
God bless you, amen.
Some of you won't buy that, but I can get it.
That's good preaching.
I'm still with
you. Hell, Jesus is out of the will of God then, because his didn't always grow. Had 12 apostles still with him. One of them betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver.
Yeah.
One of them is besting, his besting. Denied him three times before the rooster crowed in the morning.
God bless you.
Before night started, he was ready to die for him. Before morning come, he was cussing and swearing he never knew it.
Every
one of them left. Nobody even watched him die but one. He went from 15,000 to one. Was he out of the will of God? Be
come on.
You're right with God. Your church would be bigger than what it is. You lying hypocrites. You friend of Job. All you are is trying to poke my friend in pride in somebody's sores and afflict the man of God. God is going to deal with that, friend.
That's
right. Do not measure your success by the crowd. Measure them by faithfulness to God.
Amen.
When you quit measuring success by the crowd you have on Sunday morning and you measure it by faithfulness to God, you won't be near as likely to be a husband than a sin that comes by.
Amen.
Oh, the church world today is smitched on every sodomite and hugged every lesbian that's come by. And we've criticized that, but we've been yoking up with every other kind of sin known to you, man.
Amen.
And it's all making God sick. Coming to church about 5-6 naked. Amen. And leave that away and live that away. I'll know God within a million miles of it. Yet we say, oh, this is going to make the church grow. Yeah, it'll grow, but it's sweating. It ain't growing. A dead dog laying on the side of the road lay there for 2 days. He'll be bigger 2 days before than what he was when he got killed. But some is dead, can't grow. It's just the swelling's all it is. And the longer she swells, the bigger it'll get. But the bigger it gets, the closer it's getting to blowing all to pieces, too. Some of you's on the verge of an explosion. And it ain't a Pentecostal one. I'm preaching right tonight. I'm preaching right. I've preached here 4, 5, 6 years, just about in a row in one of these conferences in the weekend. I preach now. I preach on something, trying to comfort the brethren, but God's giving me what I'm going to preach tonight. I've got to be found faithful to it. We've killed the church inside the puppet. My friend is pumping and pumping and pumping. And it's going to blow up on us because he's dead.
God bless you. Everybody.
Come on, brother.
You're preaching right.
Come on.
And it's in need of a revival or a mortician, one of the two.
Bless you, Brother Shelby.
Amen. If it keeps robbing in the current state, it's going to explode and stink in the nostrils of society and the Lord.
You're right, man.
Strange sounds. What means the sounds? 2 Samuel chapter number 18. Old Joab sends a messenger to tell old David about what's happened. And I don't even know how long I've been a preacher, but right about now, I don't care. I may never get this opportunity again. The longer I go, the more I feel that way. But I'm going to preach it while I got it. Thank God. He sends a messenger back to David to tell him what has become of Absalom in the battle. And the Bible says, and it just says, the young man come to him and said, my all so run. Joab said, you ain't got no message. You don't have nothing to tell anybody. He said, but I want to run anyhow. He said, well, go run, but you ain't got nothing to say. And that boy set out to run. And he outrun the messenger. He ran all the way to David. David's servant looked out there and he told him who it was. He said, well, that's a good man. He'll bring good tidings. He'll have a message.
And when he got there, he said, "Well, what's happening?" He said, "There's the Lord." David said, "I need that. But what about us?" He said, "I don't know. But there's the Lord. It's a mess." And they realized the Lord didn't have a message. But there's one coming behind him. Wasn't fast, and he wasn't fast. And he wasn't first. But he was filled. Amen. And he did have a message. He said, "Absence day." Hey. I want to tell you, there's been a lot of times I've looked at the pulpit. I've said, "That's a good man. He'll have a good message." And I've been disappointed. And he didn't tell me nothing. And thank God for men with a message. Thank God for a man with a praise. Thank God for men with power. And the upset and demonstration of the good Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. That's good preaching. Amen.
What means a sound? But he had nothing to say. We've heard the sound of war, the sound of politics, the sound of opinions, the sound of entertainment, but we need to hear the sound of
God. Yeah. Yeah. I'll bless you, my son. You're preaching right.
I'm so glad I heard him the day he passed by. What means the sound that means he'll pass by? Woo!
That's him, Lord.
All my life I heard old time saints. I heard the old time preacher man. I heard the singing of the songs of Zion. I heard Daddy pray and the glory of God come down. I watched Papa preach and the Lord moved. But I thank God for the day I heard him come by.
Amen.
Woo! I heard a rustling above the top of the mulberries. And the Spirit said, "Get up, I got up and went." Bless his hand, holy name. What means the sounds? It means that he'll pass by. Can I tell you something else? He's still passing by. Woo! He's still coming by my way. As a matter of fact, I felt that off of his dove wings while I go. Bless his high holy name. I felt his breath. I've experienced his touch. I know his power.
Yes, sir.
My God, I know his
name. Yes, sir. Lord of God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Good preaching.
Amen. Well, I'm about drunk as a skunk right about now.
Go ahead.
Bless his high holy name. Not drunkards as you suppose, but new wine.
Amen.
Well, bless his high and holy name.
Hallelujah.
I've heard the sound of God. I've heard him in a mighty rushing wind. And I've heard him in a still small voice. And I want to tell you, whether you hear him or in a mighty rushing wind or still small voice, it's worth every mile of the trip.
Amen.
Just to hear him.
Yes, sir.
It's worth every mile of the trip. Just to hear him.
Amen.
I'll close with this. I want to ask you a question. What does it mean? What means the statues he will demand holiness? What means the service he will deliver? What means the stones he'll sustain? What means the saying he will fulfill? What means the sounds he'll pass by? What means the signs he will return?
Amen.
What means the signs?
God preaches.
He will.
Yes, sir.
Return.
Yes. Think about it.
You men of Galilee, why stand you here? Jesus in the heavens.
That same Jesus.
This same Jesus is waiting. He's coming here.
Yeah.
As you sing
Hallelujah.
He will return.
Amen.
Talking about sounds and signs. We'll close out here. I love preaching about John, that disciple whom Jesus loves. I like him. And I ain't got time to preach all up. That's irony of itself. And I about feel like it, but I can't. But in John chapter 21, we find John was the only disciple that the scripture says ever leaned on Jesus' breast.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the only disciple ever heard the Lord's heartbeat.
Yep.
Look out now.
Think about that.
Amen.
Some of you that hadn't ever thought about that needs to chew on that all the way back home. He's the only disciple ever heard the Lord's heartbeat.
That's right.
Can you imagine hearing the heartbeat of Jesus? Are you listening to it? Can you hear his heartbeat from that? Are you that close to
it?
The Bible said he leaned his head on Jesus' breast at the Lord's Supper. He's the only one that showed up at the day when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary.
God praise him, brother.
He's the one that Jesus sent his mother home.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Ain't that right?
Right.
He's the one. He wanted to sit on the right and left hand of Jesus' side when he got to heaven. Jesus said, you're not ready now, but you'll be ready. You'll be ready. You're not ready to drink the cup, but there'll come a time you'll drink the cup and you'll be ready.
God bless you, brother.
He's also the one when they got out of the sea after Jesus rose from the dead. Peter said, I go fishing. They also said, we go eat. John 21.
That's right.
Fished all night long, didn't see nothing, did they? Didn't catch nothing, couldn't get nothing in the boat. One come morning, they saw a man on the shore, didn't know who it was. He said, children, have you any meat? I appreciate their honesty. What most of us would say, well, we had 6 decisions. We baptized 14. We had 16 going to church that come by letter from the church down the road because they're mad at that preacher for preaching on sin. We call that meat. We might have called you a water dogs, the greenback frogs, or an old boot, but we ain't got no meat.
God bless you.
Yes, sir.
Bless it.
They said, no, Lord. He said, cast your net on the other side. He said,
yeah. On the right side.
Now, listen. That done been in this position before. They didn't catch nothing, got on Peter's boat right after he calls them to be disciples. They catch so much that the boat knew it sinks. Done been there once before. They cast a net over and they brought in an abundance of fishes.
Right.
They looked on the shore, it is still dusky dark, and they couldn't see who it was.
Right.
And most of them looked around and said, who is that fellow on the shore? But the disciple whom Jesus loved said, hey boys, that's the Lord. It's the Lord is who it is. John Peter said, how in the world do you know it's now? I don't know how all this went down. Scripture doesn't tell us about all it, so this ain't the way it goes. Don't tell me because I'm enjoying it too much. He said, John, how do you know it's the Lord? He said, fellas, the other night while you was arguing over who it was that's going to deny the Lord, who it was that's going to betray him, you was saying, it is I, is it I? While it was, you was looking at one another and talking about one another and seeing one another, I was leaning my head on his breast, I was hearing his heart. He was a whispering in my ear. If I could recognize him when he whispers in my ear, I know I can recognize him when he shouts. I'm talking about what about the signs? He'll return. I'm telling you, if you recognize a still small voice in your heart, you'll surely recognize a sound from the sky. When the Lord himself is still forever on a sound, and the voice of God. Whoa! And the tracks shall sound, and we'll be carried off. Hallelujah! What in the sound?
Lord of God.
Jesus, come again. Amen.
Amen.
Whoa!
What does it mean?
He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back.
God bless you.
Have you heard his voice? You'll hear him in a whisper. You'll hear him in a shout. Somebody said, is everybody going to hear him? I know them. He is going to hear him. You just go ahead and decide whether you want to listen to him now or not. Because if you won't hear him now, you won't hear him then. You'll not recognize his whisper. You'll not recognize his shout. But meet the signs, he will return.
Amen.
Finally come to our passage that we read this evening. Verse 43. What does it mean? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. What means his sight? Well, it means he can see again. The devil's blinded this world.
Yes.
Verse 43, and he immediately received his sight.
Yes, sir.
What does it mean? It meant that he can see. Once was blind, but now see. What does it mean? It means that he can follow Jesus. He received his sight and followed him. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Though I was not fit to do anything but sit on the highway side begging because have been where Jesus is, I can follow him. What does it mean? It means I can follow him. What does it mean? It means he can worship God. He glorified the Lord.
God praise.
What does it mean? It means he could exhort others to do the same.
Yeah.
When they saw it, they gave praise unto God.
That's right. God praise.
I'm going to close. You come with us.
I'll help us.
My sister, Tanya, come on, sing something. Whatever it takes, draw closer to you, Lord.
Yes, closer more.
What does it mean? Psalms 47. I laid patiently on the Lord, and he climbed me and heard my cry. Brought me up also out of the heart of a pit and out of my clay. Set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. Hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God.
Yeah.
Many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord.
Amen.
What does it mean? What does it mean? Do you know enough about God, church, and the Bible, about that works in your heart, for your children to ask you your neighbors to ask you, your co-workers to ask you, what does it mean?
God bless you.
Why you live like you live? Why you do what you do?
God bless you, Brother Toby.
Why you act like you act, talk the way you do?
Come on.
Why is it that you're willing to be different than everybody on the job? We all go to church. We're all church members, but you're just a fanatic. What does it mean? What does it mean? You got enough of God in you to make people ask, what does it mean? Do you have enough of God in you to be able to tell them what to do?
That's what it'll take.
What does it mean? Oh, my God. It ain't my job to make them understand what it means. But it sure is my job to live in such a way that they make them ask.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, God, hit me.
God bless me.
Amen. God bless me.
Whatever it takes.
Lord God, that's good for you.
Did you know that's what it'll take?
That's good for you.
It'll take whatever it takes.
Right, true.
Grandma shouted all the way through the church service. The little grand young and asked her on the way home, said, Grandma, I'd give anything to shout like that. She said, it's a good thing, honey, because that's just what it'll take.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What about you?
God
have you kept back nothing?
God bless you.
The Apostle Paul said, I kept back nothing. Nothing. When I leave out of this world, I want to put on my epitaph on my tombstone, Brother Willie. He kept back nothing. And I want to live in such a way they do it with honesty.
God bless you.
Oh, God. God
bless you. On my heart.
Lord, I can preach on that
statement.
You need to come pray. You need to do business. Well, God, you come. What does it mean? Oh, God. Oh, God.
Old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me.